Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. We have a compelling story with us today. Corey Adams is in the building to talk about commercial CDL exam for dummies. So I don't know what to say, but are you calling me a dummy?
Well, the publisher might, which they refer to dummies as just a lighthearted way of saying someone who is intelligent but doesn't know about a subject.
Hmm. All right. So in that way, I am a dummy, and I'm here to learn from the man who wrote this book himself, Corey Adams. As a kid, couldn't play trucks with other kids. They didn't drive right. Did you write that?
Yeah.
Is that your idea?
Yeah. They said have fun with it. And I did hate playing cars and trucks with other kids. I liked roads. I liked backing trucks and trailers up correctly. So we would play other stuff.
That's great. You said, hey, you're not using your rearview mirror for that. So today we're talking about the story behind Corey writing this book. He spent a lot of time, and this was Corey's an employee of Nussbaum, but he did this on his own time for the whole industry. And so you can pick this up at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Any place where they sell books for dummies.
All right, Target, books for dummies. And we're going to talk about the story that led to the creation of this book and then talk about who it's meant for, the content itself, the creation of that content, the countless hours writing and revising, then what is this going to do for people to leave an impact on other people? So just to summarize, and that we're going to talk about how this opportunity, working with dummies to publish this book, and how it's going to benefit the people listening. So to start, I wanted to do an icebreaker question just to get to know you. So, Corey, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to working at Nussbaum, and then a fun fact that most people don't know about you.
Well, I guess as far as how I started working here, basically I had been driving for my brother-in-law and decided while he was among the best employers to have, and still would be, I decided, you know, it was time to get something that was closer to home. And I put my resume out or contacted about three places, and Nussbaum was the first to contact me. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Josh Carr hired me, and here I am. It's a little more interesting how I came into the office, though. Mm-hmm. There was a man that came to our church preparing for some a series of services. He said, plan on being there at all 14 services. Well, I was over the road, and I just prayed a really short prayer, God, whatever your will is. Within 2 weeks, Phil called me up and said, Corey, we feel like there's something you can do for us here in the office, but we don't know what. And so we know where that came from.
Okay. it's from God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the decision was made.
Okay.
So I've been in the office now for, how long was it? Well, it was 2010, about 16 years ago.
And what did you start out doing when you first came in the office?
Well, immediately working on the orientation training, especially the when we used PeopleNet back in that day. So the logs and how to do messages and such, it quickly started expanding to all sorts of areas. But as far as the, when I really got a title, driver manager, and still doing the training. Mm-hmm. And then later, as the company grew, then it was just simply, you know, training of all sorts.
And then this, starting out driving, is in your family. Your dad was also a driver. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm thinking it's probably about 1968 when he started driving the trucks as far as a semi and trailer. I mean, he actually probably drove something in the Army. He said he got to, I forget how high of a rank he got to drive in a Jeep, but anyway, not too terribly high, but that's what he enjoyed doing.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, great. So you started off in the office working with orientation, and what is your role today here?
Well, it's just a title. It's senior instructional administrator. So anything to do with learning, drivers, all the way from the curriculum in the academy, learning techniques in it, to orientation, experienced drivers, online training for both drivers and the office. Mm-hmm. And so anything along that line, trying to keep a consistency through the whole company about what we are talking about. So,
what's your fun fact that you have for us today?
I don't know if anyone knows. I think everyone knows everything about me. I mean, I pastored a church. I've coached basketball and track. I played tuba.
I think you just named three, four things I didn't know.
Well, I just assumed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel, did you know that? Okay.
All those things, yeah. Even coached Brendan Nussbaum in basketball. I won't tell any stories about him, though. He'll appreciate me not telling.
He hit all the threes.
We didn't. Well, I'm not sure he had threes back then. But anyway.
So, you pastored a church. Mm-hmm. Where was that at?
Very southern tip of Illinois. Pretty much. It's close to Thebes.
Okay.
Rock Springs Hollow is the area.
Okay.
Out in the country, the edge of Shawnee National Forest.
And how'd you end up in that position?
Well, I started preaching when I was probably about 16. And anyway, went to college, was ordained, and anyway, they needed a pastor, and they said okay to me, and there I was for about 7 years, and then we moved up here to work in a mission church, and I helped work in it. And I was actually interim pastor the last year of its existence. It never did get off the ground, though.
Okay. Wow. So you're blowing my mind right now, just on this stuff, and coaching basketball, and playing tuba. It's great.
I just thought everybody knew.
Yeah. Anything else you think that everyone knows?
Well, I worked on breaking a world record at one point for coin snatching.
What's coin snatching?
You stack up a stack of coins on your elbow and catch them.
So how many did you have on your elbow?
The world record at that time was something like 39 half dollars. And I was working on it, and only had 34 half dollars to even work with. And then a new book, a Guinness Book of World Records, came out. And some guy in England caught and showed two big stacks. And they said there's quarter-size coins, whatever it was, over in England. And I thought, my hand's not even big enough. So I quit at that point.
Oh, my. That's really cool, though. And you still got it in you? If I grab some coins, we could do this.
I'd probably still do it, yeah.
That's awesome. There's just a lot. And Corey did not write this book from just a guy on his couch, but he wrote this from someone that is experienced. And every day, you're in the trenches and working with people, training them to be a better truck driver. And just to say that you're very experienced. And so how did this begin? Was there a moment that you wished you had this book yourself? Or how did this book take place?
Well, the Dummies publishers, Wiley Corporation, Wiley Publishing, they don't take submissions. They if you submitted something, they'd probably automatically say no to you. So the acquisitions editor that contacted us searched out companies that they thought would be, you know, leaders in the subject. So she reached out here. I think it was Ryan Jameson that received the initial contact and put it over to us. And long story short, I end up writing it. We as a company didn't feel that we had the time to invest in it on company time. So I, for some reason, decided to do it on my own, and that's kind of incredible itself. If you talk to my English teachers I had in high school and college, they say, he wrote a book, he couldn't even get a paper finished. So that was
But you had to enjoy writing enough to want to tackle this, right? Just have some interest in writing, right?
The topic I knew. Yeah. So I didn't have to make up things and like a novelist. They're having to, you know, think of the whole storyline and keep the everything straight and envision a whole lot of things. It's pretty incredible what they really have to do. But in this, it's things I knew. I mean, I did make sure I verified my facts and everything to ensure that I was stating things correctly. Mm-hmm. And then, but even after that, I had a technical editor who I got to pick out. So it was Jeff King. And after I submitted the chapter to one editor, they'd send it to Jeff, and then he would check it for the technical aspects and make sure I didn't make any mistakes or errors.
Yeah. Not even one mistake?
The first couple of three chapters he checked, he said he didn't find anything. And I told him, you're going to have to do a better job, Jeff.
And for those who don't know, who is Jeff?
Jeff is an instructor at the academy. He was our lead instructor, but he decided to step back a little bit and relax a little bit, but he's still instructing and has instructed drivers for many years. I'm not sure how many, but.
Wow. So. Well, I think the story, this wasn't something on your radar until that email came across and you said, sure, why not? What made you want to continue with it yourself?
I don't really know. I didn't mind writing it, strangely enough. You know, I mean, the idea of writing something has never bothered me. It's the finishing.
Yeah.
It's always been more of an issue. But so I actually enjoyed it for the most part. There'd be some frustrations and stuff, but I didn't struggle. So what prompted me? I'm not sure. You know, I asked myself, you know, is this what God wanted me to do? Mm-hmm. And it did seem to be that way.
Yeah.
So why, you know, I ask, I don't know, but maybe there's people out there who need this. Yeah. I do know that I benefited greatly from my dad's skill and many other people's advice and stuff, and I was never afraid to ask somebody, whereas some people are a little intimidated, timid in that area to ask. I was never afraid to ask and research. So making this available to people who would be quite willing to read a book, you know, maybe that's what, you know, the whole idea is to make it available to those who want to read and don't have the background. See, I grew up in the farming area, and I had my toy tractors and trucks and everything, and was quite content to play all day long with those. And I would drive those in a very specific way. And, you know, as I grew older, I mean, I'd ride my bicycle all day long, up and down. I'd ride around a car that was on a carport and somehow was good enough to not ever hit the car. maybe just doing it so much. But Later, as I got older, of course, started working on farms, but I benefited from, you know, the farm experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of drivers came from farms. And that's why there's a real need for drivers now, because it's the baby boomers. Baby boomers, a lot of people that needed jobs, but also combining that with farms, as you look around now, farms have big tractors and wide implements. When my dad was farming, he had a four-row planter. Now, I'm not sure what they're all up to. I do know of 48-row planters.
Wow.
The disc he used was a little wider than the tractor, and he had the biggest tractor they made back then. It was only a little over 100 horsepower.
Yeah.
And now you can find on the market, you can find 700-some horse, and you find a few exceptions where even up to 1,000, but that's a little more rare.
Yeah.
But all these people then who were on farms and are now not needed so much, you know, the farms are getting bigger and bigger, but they get bigger and bigger equipment.
Yeah.
And so what are those people going to do? Drive a truck. Hmm. But now those people are retiring.
Yeah.
And those people who benefited from all that are out of the industry. Mm. A lot, of course. And so there's people who maybe know little or nothing about driving such big equipment. And so, you know, maybe they can read this and be helped out a little bit.
Yeah, so you're expecting to see a shortage of drivers coming into the industry, and even drivers that have some awareness of driving, didn't grow up on a farm, or there's just a larger need going into the future.
Well, it's been that way for a while. I mean, there's a lot of people going in and out. The thing about driving trucks is there's all sorts of areas where you can use a commercial driver's license. Mm-hmm. And that's talked about in the book as well. But there's so many areas. I mean, just even working for the city,
mm-hmm.
you got the dump trucks, garbage trucks, snow plowing, other utility companies need them, construction companies need people with CDLs. Mm-hmm. So there's many, many areas that need people with those.
Yeah.
And schools today do, at least the ones I'm familiar with around here, do a good job with the time they're given. But it is a limited amount of time. I remember when I first heard of a truck driving school, and I thought, that was the strangest thing. Really? I think it was Wabash College down in Southern Illinois. I thought that was just really strange, because everyone I knew, you know, grew up around on farms. It's just almost a natural thing to do it without going to a school. But, you know, that's all changed.
Yeah, there's thousands.
I mean, people, they grow up maybe in the city. They don't have, you know, they have experience in some things, but probably not that. I mean, we've had people who are beauticians who are drivers. We've had FBI agents. Yes, the ones that conceal their guns and arrest narcotics.
Yeah.
Smugglers and such.
Wow.
We've had all sorts of people
come
through as drivers. And they, you know, they didn't have the background of, like I did, you know.
Mm. So equipping those people, and I love, there's so many people getting into trucking from a wide variety, worked 40 years as a sheriff, as a chef,
mm-hmm.
or we have an NFL player, ex-NFL player working here at Newspawn. We got a pro wrestler?
Well, we did. That's another story.
All right. Another story, another day. We'll have to talk more about this. But I want to know about this book. How long did it take you to write a Four Dummies book?
I know I signed the contract, I think it was in December of 24. And waiting around a little bit, they have a special template to use in Microsoft Word. So January, February at the latest, started writing. Actually before that, they wanted a sample chapter from me and a sample table of contents. And it was after submitting that, then it was a time where they had to get everything approved, because the acquisitions editor had to take it to the board and sell it to them. And so that was partially written at the beginning. But so anyway, the last submission, I had to submit that by September 23rd. But then after I got the last bit submitted, which I did get on time, then they sent it all back to me again to proofread.
Okay.
Although there was the process of doing that in the meantime, you know, all those months, I'd send it, they sent it back. We'd argue back and forth a little bit.
You can't remove this. This has to be in here.
There was some of that. Yeah. No, you can't change it. You can't say it that way. It has to be said this way.
Yeah. They want to streamline, but sometimes the stuff is mission critical mm-hmm. to learning.
Yes.
So in total, how many months was that? Course of 13, 14 months.
So February, March, April. So maybe a pretty solid 8 months. I did take out a couple weeks vacation and told them up front about that, and
yeah,
they worked that in. And my mom passed away during that time, and they also extended out deadlines when that occurred too. So
yeah,
they're good in that respect.
So about 9 months,
8 or 9 months, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty quick. In the world of writing?
I guess. I mean, that's my one experience with anything of that nature. I did find myself getting up in the morning, start writing on a book. Get home from work, go to the computer, start writing on the book.
Did you have to do, like, a routine to get into the state of writing? Like, did you have any warm-ups, or how did you get into the state of mind to write?
I don't think I had much problem doing that.
Just start pouring out your brain.
Yeah, just, I mean, it was, the good thing is a lot of that's on my mind anyway, so it's not as if I have to switch to a different subject, because mm-hmm. During the day I'm, you know, doing something with driving and regulations and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a big switch.
Yeah. What was the hardest part of writing this book?
It'd be one of two things. There is a special template that they use with Microsoft Word that is different. I mean, they got their own macros. You got to get your computer to accept the macros. And then as you're writing it, you don't always see what the end result is. So they're able to take what you've written and do much less work on it, so they can publish it really fast. And that's one of the things they like to do.
So they're starting to edit to get this ready for publishing. They're designing it as you're writing.
I am giving instructions on designing.
Okay.
But using their, what would you call it? The way the template is made, I give the instruction on how to design it. Mm-hmm. Of course, there is an editor that I worked with, which made suggestions. But yeah, that's on the author to do that.
So you played the design hat also, which is a big part of writing. Is there any sections that you were super proud of? You can just look back on it like, this is my favorite section. You got to read this. Yeah, any?
I don't know. There's probably pieces then all strewn out through the book. As far as a total chapter, well, I'll put it this way. If you buy the book and you don't plan on getting your CDL, read the last chapter and it'll pay for the book.
Okay.
Because it will, if you listen to it, if you use it, you will become a better driver, safer driver. You can get those discounts from your insurance that puts those little things in your car to see if you're braking gently and making fast corners or not. And
so this is chapter 23.
Chapter 23.
So yep. Chapter 23, quote unquote, will pay for itself.
Oh yeah. if you do what's in there, it'll pay for itself. You'll get better fuel mileage. I do it myself in my car. I get a lot better fuel mileage than what it's supposed to be able to get. I know someone else is doing those things in their car, and again, surpassing what their stickers say on the window, what it should be able to get.
Yeah. So. Amazing. That's great. Wow. Would not expect this. Should we do any teasers?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Do you want to read any?
Oh, let's see here. Of course, that one, avoiding red lights. Avoiding red lights, I this is one of my pet peeves. Whenever people pass me up, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I just think, okay, they're in a different club. I won't join them. They just pass me up and just run up to the traffic light. And what do they get to do?
Wait.
And use their brakes. And while they're sitting still, you know what kind of fuel mileage they're getting? Zero. I'm still getting good fuel mileage because I'm still moving. But they're sitting still and not moving. And then to start moving, whether it's a little car or a big truck, to start moving, you got to use some fuel to get it going. But if you weren't sitting still, then there's a portion of that that's already taken care of. You don't have to get it moving again. And so waiting and putting on your brakes at the last minute, that just wears out your brakes, which I know there might be some people who make their money replacing brakes, but sorry.
But. Well, I think most drivers, if you're driving your personal vehicle, you're going to want to save your brakes.
You would think so, but that's not what they're thinking. Otherwise... Yeah. They wouldn't be stopping so hard.
Sure.
Coming out to the... Yeah. The light's red. Why are you charging it towards it?
Maybe it's going to change. Maybe it's going to change last second.
Maybe it won't.
No, I'm just kidding. I think that's a great tip. And so check it out, that chapter 23. And if you could go back and change one thing about the book, would you change it anything? Or what would that be if you did?
I can't say I would change anything, but I would. It would have been nice to be able to maybe spend more time on it, and thus make me more confident that I put things in such a way that people are going to understand. They're going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way you say things, the way you arrange things, helps learning. And that's one thing about this. I definitely made improvement over a CDL study guide. I wonder about that. You know, I question, okay, there's a deadline. So, yes, I got this. This is good. Could it be better? And so, you know, maybe if I took a sabbatical, maybe that would have... help to know whether I was doing the best job or not. Like, might not really be anything. I mean, lots of times I'll look at something, I'll examine it, tear it apart, turn it around, and come right back to where I was. So,
yeah, makes sense. Well, I think you did a great job on it, and Was there anything you were surprised about working for Dummies with? That's the brand, right? For Dummies is the brand of organization, the Wiley.
The Wiley Publishing Company, has that. They print various other educational books. You might have had some when you're in college published by them. But this is this line of books. Your question again was?
Were you surprised by anything working with them?
Well, the template. Definitely was a surprise. I mean, and even though I use Word all the time, there are things in Word that I didn't know about. So that was a surprise. How much was on the author to do was a surprise.
There was a lot on the author.
Yeah, as far as, so designing it, the icons and things like that. I mean, you see these icons here; those are put in by the author. So there is some surprises in that area.
Yeah, pictures. You got the pictures.
I did. The vast majority of pictures in the book I did. I got Philip to do a few other pictures. There's a chapter in the book that is probably very unique. I don't know if anyone else has tried this, but I showed how to back a semi and trailer, tractor and trailer, in the book. So we took a toy. It's actually a big toy, but the wheels steer. It is a tractor and it's a trailer. And we showed how to back into a parking spot or a dock, and had to do it at an angle. But we went through the process and then showing which way the wheels were to be turned. And I gave many tips about how to do it, how to correct a bad decision, and some things to look at, which looking at your backing is very helpful. If you're just sitting there and being told, but you don't see anything, then you're going to struggle. So whenever you're learning to back in, the real truck, if you had a drone flying overhead, filming what you're doing, that would be very helpful. But if you at least can get out of the truck and look and see your position and where it is you're trying to go, it makes a big difference. First solo load I hauled, I know people don't believe this, first solo load I hauled was a 12-foot wide load into Newark, New Jersey. It was a cooling unit. And as I was, it's a construction site, so they made a road and it wasn't a straight road. And plus, it was 12 foot wide, so it's hard to see. And some guy was trying to direct me, and one of us was failing. He said, maybe you ought to get out. I got out, and then when I got out and saw what was going on, I thought, I know what I really need to do. Because he probably wasn't saying exactly what needed to be done, or I wasn't hearing it. So whenever I saw it, then I thought, okay, now I know which direction I really need to do, because you don't turn a tractor and a trailer the same way you turn a straight vehicle like a car or a pickup. There's some differences, and you got to think ahead, anticipate what's going to be happening. And that kind of stuff's in there. I think it's chapter 10. I'm not sure. Okay. I forget. It's one I'm backing.
That's great. And then what was that first load that you hauled? Do you remember what was in it?
It was a cooler. So it's they didn't call it air conditioner. It was a cooler for a cold storage unit. So the thing was about, it was 11 foot, 11 inches wide, and maybe 8 foot tall. Hauled it on a step deck.
That's amazing. It's fun to think back to that. And the stages at the very beginning that you experienced, is that's how you're going to help other people. So this book, who is it for? Who can benefit from this book?
Well, Chapter 23, anybody who drives. But the rest of it, I'd say just about anybody. Obviously, the person who's looking to get their CDL, they can benefit from it. I think it will really help out learning about the exams. I mean, the written, many books are out there that are designed to help people pass a written exam. Well, I didn't want to do that. I mean, whenever they first came to us, they said something about once lots of questions.
Like practice
questions. Yeah, a bunch of practice questions. And the reason why, and I understand the reason why, because the questions, which were, again, mainly made up by the federal government years and years ago, were not written by a good educator wanting to see how much you knew.
Yeah.
They were written to see if they could trick you up.
Hmm.
And that's what a lot of it is. So there is a chapter on how to pass the test, and it has to do with your thinking process. But I wanted people to know the subject and then understand how questions are written, that they, you know, throw certain words in that makes it, you know, you got to really be careful. But no, I put it in. Wrote this in order for people to know the subject and not just be able to pass a written test, but they could apply it to their driving, not just to pass the skills test either, but to drive for their whole career with.
Well, in your introduction, you said this is a book that's going to leapfrog you in front of other drivers, not just to hit a bar, but to become an excellent driver. So I commend you for doing that with this. It's comprehensive, 360 pages of wisdom and experience, not just how to pass the test that is changed a lot in many years. So great job on doing that.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the content behind this book and the people that went into creating this book. Who were the influential people in any relation to the book? So the influential people that impacted you in writing this book.
Well, I guess I'd go different. We'd go different directions with that. Obviously, my dad was the first one who really taught me how to drive things, drive trucks and tractors and all that. And I do know that it took me a while, it took me many years to discover that he taught me things that some people miss out on. People who were in charge of maintenance or something, and they looked at my truck, looked at my steer tires, and they said, "Well, you still don't need any new steer tires." Didn't know why. Well, I found out that my dad taught me to never turn the steering wheel unless your vehicle is moving. People are all the time steering, they're turning when their vehicle's not moving, so they get to replace their steer tires more often or have to rotate them. I can actually avoid having to rotate my tires. And I just replaced tires on my my little car, and they were all born evenly. But they were all down to not much left at all.
Yeah.
So definitely my dad. My brother-in-law, who actually one day it was after I laid off from Mitsubishi, along with 1,200 other people, he said something about needing a driver. And I said, "Well, tell me about it." And so that's actually where I started that. And you know, this transmissions in those trucks were different from other transmissions in your normal, not so big farm truck. So he taught me about that, and I know I learned something there, because one day when I was a driver, I was brought into the office, and Kent asked me, we want to know why you're getting better fuel mileage than everybody. And I said, I don't know. I'm not with everybody else. But later I found out that, so they was comparing my truck, which was a manual transmission, to the other trucks that were manual transmissions. And come to find out, they were shifting at very high RPMs. Unnecessary. Plus, it makes it harder. But anyway, so I benefited from him. But as far as in the riding of it, I let my son, Philip, look over things, because sometimes I talk like Yoda. I do.
Can you do a Yoda voice for us?
Not the voice. It'd be more of what he says. Yeah. Yeah, talk like Yoda. I do. But
anyway. Pass the exam, you will.
Yeah. So anyway, so he was definitely a help in that respect.
Yeah.
There's a person I worked with in a camp who's a DOT medical examiner, and they mentioned something about, boy, I would sure like it if you put something about medical examiners. And I think I'd already decided that was going to be in there, but I definitely did put in there about what their role is. And while some people were really aggravated at them, their goal is to help drivers obtain better health, be healthy enough to drive a vehicle safely, a big vehicle safely. And so anyway, there's information about that. But that's good for people to know, because when they do find something, they've got an obligation, a responsibility.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make them happy. But on the other hand, if they find something that helps you avoid, you know, a health issue getting worse, mm-hmm. you know, that's something to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and her name, think of her name. She's that's pretty good. Shelby Warner. There I go. I got it. So those are the ones off the top of my head. Of course, Jeff King, being a technical editor, and thinking about the things that he's probably taught me some things on teaching the students and stuff.
Yeah. Even the teacher's got to be taught at some point. And I love hearing that it wasn't just one person, but it was a whole group of people, from your dad, to your son, to other family members, to people here at work. So
I can probably even thank my high school guidance counselor. He's the one that strongly suggested that I take typing.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he had humongous hands. I mean, mainly the fingers were so big that he was told he would never be able to type. Because his fingers would be stuck in. He learned how to type and showed him that he could.
Wow.
So I did take typing. That was back in the day of manual typewriters.
Sure.
And I got stories about those things, about that class. But I had the oldest typewriter in the classroom.
Okay.
That was the first semester.
Did it work any different than the other ones?
It had some stripped gears.
Okay.
So whenever you hit the tab button, it'll still go. The carriage was supposed to slide to a certain point. It may go to that point, and then it'd go on. So, and the teacher would be looking over at me.
Hey,
I'm not doing
you
it.
You gave me the oldest typewriter.
Yeah, and then the next semester we switched. Half the class is manual, half the class is electric. So I went over to the electric. So you say hands in position. I put my hands in position. It just starts typing, because I had the little manual where, I mean, you were really pounding that.
Yeah.
So that was one class that I hoped to get a C in.
Uh-huh.
Any other classes, you know, I wanted to be an A student.
Yeah.
But that one, I was just hoped to get a C.
Why is that?
We had to accomplish so many words per minute. That's basically what you had to get a C, and so many for B and so many for A.
Hmm.
So I hoped to get enough words per minute to get a C.
So speaking of words per minute, did you end up getting the C that you...
Yes, I did. I did accomplish that.
Congratulations. So then
thank you.
The words per minute, but what about for the book? Was there a words per day, a goal that you had every day to write 500 words, 1,000 words? Did you just write what you felt inspired?
No, just kept going.
That's the motto. Yeah. Just keep writing. Just keep writing.
Yeah. Yeah. They had deadlines for a certain percentage to be done by a certain date, mm-hmm. like in April or something. And anyway, they had about four, you know, like a 25, 50, 75, and 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it really is an accomplishment. I don't think anyone else in this building has done what you've done in publishing a book like that. Any future plans to continue writing other books, possibly for dummies or not for dummies, or future editions?
Yeah, again, that would still be completely up to them if they wanted to do something. They'd really more than frown on someone coming to them, approaching them. They always go out. They do the searching. They get an idea. They do the searching. So if they ever want a second edition of this or something different, then would I? I have no idea. I mean, that took up a big time of my life. Things got sacrificed. My exercising, physical exercise. I did get the yards mowed. I didn't do that much, but little extra projects there wasn't any of. So it really takes some time. I would almost have to either take a sabbatical, which would mean I need some more money coming in somewhere.
Hey, if these books fly off the shelves.
I did have a driver who started up with us not too long ago. Said she found it and looked like she had the clerk take a picture of her with the
no
book.
Way.
Yeah. Sent it to me.
That's awesome. Have you gotten any responses from people that have read it so far?
No, I haven't. I mean, she said, thanks, found it. But no, there's been seems like several of them have sold, but there's been no reviews, zero.
Yep.
So obviously I haven't even put one in.
Yeah. Well, if you wrote about any other topics, not trucking excluded, what would you write about? Just a blank slate. Would you write about anything else?
It'd almost have to be memoirs or something, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or it could be something on the Bible. Hard to say. I do like telling Bible stories. Hmm. Interesting fact.
I do
that, and I learned from a professional storyteller.
Really?
On how to do that, and so I developed my own ways of being able to do that.
But, professional storyteller.
Yeah, so he was a professional storyteller, and he also he published books. I bought a couple of his books, but he's retired now. I don't know how old he is. I'm not going to guess. He's retired and even moved to South Carolina. But, and he's trained people on how to tell Bible stories. He used to do things more dramatical, but he learned later telling the Bible story simply is actually the best way. Hmm. You know, because the Bible story will tell the story. Mm-hmm. But how to remember one?
Yeah,
that's the trick.
Yep. Yeah, they're memorable stories, and to tell it in a compelling way. So this is the one of the last questions I have, and then I'll leave you if there's anything else you want to share. Newsbomb's about being purpose driven. Writing this book, you had to be purpose driven to finish it, or else you'd lose motivation. What does it mean for you to be purpose-driven?
Everything I do, I know there's a purpose. I don't always have to know the purpose or the reason behind it. God brought me into the office here. Why? That's his problem. I didn't have to know. I once said I would never be a truck driver. Because my dad was a truck driver, and I didn't like it whenever he was away from home. Didn't like that at all. And but yet, one day I started driving a truck over the road. But I guess knowing that God had a purpose, was good enough. And, you know, in the office here, I mean, I do see opportunities to do lots of different things. But yeah, if there wasn't a purpose, then probably wondering, okay, what should I be doing? When I worked at Mitsubishi, you know, worked at Mitsubishi for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was the purpose there? Well, some of my purpose was working there in order for me to be able to do other things outside of there. Because then when I was working there is when I did the coaching and had my CDL back then as well. And got to drive a lot of field trips and such because I worked nights. Mm-hmm. And during the day I was able to drive field trips and had lots of fun doing that kind of stuff. And as far as the coaching goes, teachers loved it because I would have basketball practice early in the morning because there was limited gym space anyway. So in the morning we'd have it, and all the kids, like fourth, fifth, sixth graders, they'd get there and we'd have basketball practice. And when they got into class, teachers could tell when basketball practice had started because all the players were alert and ready. Whereas other days they're just dragging.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. There's always a purpose. I don't always have to know what the purpose is, but I know the person who does know the purpose. So. Well,
and God does have a purpose for everything. He's got a purpose for you, for our lives, and for everyone listening. So, it's great. Anything else you'd like to share to our audience listening?
As far as the book goes, just let people know that it's out there and why it's out there. It will be a help. Always be open to what might happen. Don't close the doors. Don't burn bridges. But listen. And do see what, you know, God may have you to do. It's an adventure.
Mm-hmm. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And might be good to never say never.
Never say never. And that's how you got here, isn't it?
I said I'd never be a truck driver. And here I am. And yeah. So.
Never say never. Well, thanks for being on the podcast today, Corey. Really appreciate you. And your heart behind that and wanting to teach other people. And thank you to Daniel doing our audio and video, our producer, editor, and also to our listeners. Thank you for joining us today to hear about CDL exam for dummies. So if you don't know much about trucks, you're also a dummy, and I'm a dummy too. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi everyone, this is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.